This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino.
Do the show, bitch.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, bow, bow. Bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump. What? Ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that. But whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Do the show, man.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Ooh. It was ugly. We got it done. I'm talking about yesterday's show. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I am Woodsy. That's our executive producer, Paul P.T. Reindl. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Today is National Vanilla Ice Cream Day, and on that note... This is mean. It's a throwback to an email Paul got this morning. I don't know that you've even seen it yet. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, there's your microphone.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, don't think I've seen it
yet. It's Ben Higgins. Good morning.
Good morning. I love winning. I love when games just finish, too.
I just love when it's over. I just love when it's over and you get the dub. And it doesn't matter how many you left on. It doesn't matter who soiled themselves. Just get it done.
Yeah.
It's not college football. Who cares? Flush it. Move on. Padres win. Felt like a loss last night based on my timeline. We will get into
Let's go, Padres. We will get into all of that and more. Done.
Today is also, besides National Vanilla Ice Cream Day, which I love, by the way. Love vanilla ice cream. Have no beef with vanilla ice cream. It's fantastic. Today's also Gorgeous Grandma Day. So shout out to all the gorgeous grandmothers out there.
I've got two of them.
My mom,
my mother-in-law, but I've got two actual still living of my own gorgeous grandmas.
I have two grandmas left, yeah.
It's all you get when you start, usually. I mean, you could have...
Well, you have
step parents, things like that.
Exactly.
But, I don't know when gorgeous... Nana Day is, but I don't have a grandma. I have a Nana.
You have a Nana?
Yeah.
I have a nanny.
She does not accept grandma.
I have a Grammy and an Omi.
Omi is really cute. That's really nice. Well, Ben made it in today, so that's a huge step in the right direction. I'm aware, though, you're having some issues, which I've heard before on this program, with your alarm clock on your iPhone. It's weird. Out of all the problems with iPhone alarms, it's really centralized to this studio with you and our beloved producer, P.T. Reindl, the only two humans I know that have had problems with their iPhone alarm clocks.
It's funny. You get a technology that works like, 1,400 times in a row. You start to count on it and think it's going to work the 1,401st time.
Now, Paulie got to the bottom of his with his Apple Watch. He got a new Apple Watch, and something was going on.
So they were synced up weird.
Right.
And
so he did the...
My phone, because my watch charges at night. It's not on my wrist.
Right.
So
it's
I have it charging. And so like my phone alarm would go off, and it would send it to my watch. So my watch is on the charger just like vibrating and moving around. I'm like, I had no idea.
So Paulie... got his fix by going and getting, I think he took one of your gift cards, one of your leftover.
We played gift card roulette.
Gift card roulette and went in and got an alarm from CVS. No problems. Paulie has not been even a minute late since that happened. Now, this morning you said your alarm is jacked now.
Right. I think I figured it out. I just needed to reboot the phone. Hadn't rebooted in a while. So, I mean, I've tested it many times. It works every time. So, just have to make sure that it works in the actual, like, 4:30 in the morning when it's supposed to work.
It's very strange.
Yeah, but I did test it. I set extra alarms. And then Shelly, you know, I have the backup alarm.
Shelly is the backup
alarm. She is the backup alarm. And she worked it perfectly this morning. So.
Got you up. Got you out the door. Now you made it with 10 minutes to spare.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know.
Yeah, that was the fourth emergency backup. And it still got me here on time. So I feel like I was responsible and it worked out just fine.
You and your entire family are in the blender right now.
A little bit.
This is unbelievable. I can't believe the day ahead of you right now. I can't believe the waiting game you're playing, the nauseating feeling that you must have right now. Share with our audience, but what is going on in the Higgins household?
So, as you said before, I'm going to be on vacation starting next Tuesday. We're going up to Shelley's old hometown in Washington to get together with her family. Kind of a memorial service. Her grandfather passed away during COVID, and
right.
We never were able to get together and kind of honor him. So this is the plan, that everyone's coming from around the country to the same spot. However, during COVID, in fact, just about a month or two ago, we realized my oldest son turned 18, and he never got his driver's license. And then we realized, well, he needs an ID to get on a plane. He doesn't have a government ID because he never got the driver's license. So,
and it's okay for 17-year-olds.
Yeah,
as long
as you're with your parents, as you're a minor, it's okay. But
wow.
The TSA says once you're 18, you have to have your own ID to get on the plane. So we raced to the DMV, applied for the real ID. It's supposed to come any day now, but it hasn't arrived yet, and we just keep waiting at the mailbox, hoping it's going to get there. But at some point, you know, my wife says it's very important that my son is up there because it's the whole family. So if the ID doesn't come, she's going to actually drive with him up to Washington as opposed to waiting and flying with us. So she's going to go this weekend. So we have to keep watching for the mailbox for the ID to arrive so he can actually get on a plane with his family.
Now,
on Tuesday.
Your son, does he want to go on the trip?
I don't. I mean, he's 18.
He's 18 years old.
I ask because I assume he doesn't. And
no,
I
but
assume
he
really doesn't want to drive.
He has to be
hours.
There, so there's really no other option. And we're just waiting and waiting.
That drive, at a minimum, is what? If everything goes perfectly.
22.
Yeah, Paul's done it before, right? Yeah.
I mean, I've done Seattle to San Diego.
Pretty much similar,
and
yeah.
The absolute fastest, hauling ass, doing pretty ungodly speeds in the middle of Central California with one stop for food for 30 minutes. It still took me over 20 hours.
Yeah, that's why she's planning on going 3 days early to make sure she can get there.
It's probably going to be closer to like 30, 35 is my guess, with some stops. And
yikes. So today's the day.
And I can't drive with them because, well, I've got a radio show and I can't take more days off on both ends to be driving.
Why don't you just tell the TSA guy who you are? And maybe
tell him I'm Ben from Ben
the
and
radio
Woods
show.
And from
can
Channel
we just
10.
Let my son on the plane, even though he doesn't have an ID?
I can't wrap my head around the fact that, hey, here's a paper one that we got from the DMV. Here's his birth certificate. Like,
I don't know. I've called. I've gotten different answers, and they said sometimes you can get lucky and they'll let you on. Other times they will turn you away, and we're not taking. I guess we're not going to take any chances.
Yeah, because
that he gets turned away at the airport while the rest of us are leaving, and then he's just okay.
If you roll the dice and he gets rejected at the counter,
right?
He's like, all right, I'm jumping in an Uber. See you guys later. Have fun.
Right.
And he won't be mad at that at all.
No, he wouldn't, but the rest of the family and we would. So, you know, we want him there with us.
So really today, when the mailman comes, your wife will either go, yes, we're getting on a plane on Monday. Or
Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning.
Or she's leaving this weekend.
She's leaving this weekend.
Driving out with him. And I'll fly up with our other son.
You and your other
and
son
meet them
just
there.
Kicked back, feet up on the recliner.
Upgrade
just
to
like,
first class.
Just upgrade.
You guys both show up tanked.
We're going.
We have the best flight.
We're going Southwest, so there's no upgrades or first class.
What a night!
What a night! We had such a great flight. Thanks for picking this up.
I don't know if there's a tier one out there who's a TSA agent that can help me out. I'm not. You can see I'm not above begging and asking.
No, God, he's definitely not. Ryan wants to. Can you not just say he's 17?
Well, we've already bought the tickets, and it asked for his birth date.
I didn't want to lie on that.
So it's in there.
Will you update me today?
Yeah, I'll
when
let
the
you
mailman
know.
Comes?
What time does mail usually get there?
Not until like 4 or 4:30 late in the day. Late in the day.
This is terrible, Ben.
You're at the end of the route.
This is terrible. I hate this for you guys. Now, Shelley probably is like, oh no, I don't want to do this. Nobody would want to do that drive voluntarily.
No, I mean, but she's, I keep telling her, let's take our chances. I think we go early, we do extra screening, we talk our way on. It's
going
to work.
Go like 2 hours.
She's the one who doesn't want to risk it and insists.
And get him.
She wants to make sure she gets up there. So,
oh man.
I don't know. So that's what we're going through this week.
I'm very sorry that that's happening. It's probably a tremendous amount of stress. Even though I think now I would volunteer to go on a 22-hour drive solo. Like solo, I would do a 22-hour drive right now just to get some peace and quiet. I think would be fantastic.
Pick your own music the whole way.
I mean, I always pick my own music. But, you know, just a peace and quiet and see some beautiful countryside and whatnot. And just enjoy the silence. I don't even know that I put music on, Ben. I may just drive in silence.
Complete 22 and utter
hours
silence.
Just nobody screaming, nobody wanting a snack.
Meditation.
Nobody yelling at me. You know, it sounds phenomenal. Well, at any rate, I hope it works out. I really do, because it makes me very nervous for you guys having to deal with that. That really sucks. Really sucks.
It's still a vacation. It'll work out in the end.
Well, you know,
fine.
What's interesting is that you not only just have to drive there, you also have to drive home, which is about 2 days in a car.
Even worse than the drive there.
It's way worse. Because you're driving there, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to see everyone.
Right.
It's going to be so great to see. And there's something to look forward to. The drive home, and it'll be in the back of your mind the entire time of like, I still have to do a 22-hour drive home. It's going to be terrible. I'm very sorry. I hope the ID.
But are you driving back with them?
No. I've got to get back. I got to get back for the show. You guys want me to take an extra, you know, 3 or 4 days off to drive back as well? I don't think so.
That sucks. Oh my Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. TOM says sign up for informed delivery from USPS, and you can see what's coming in your mail before it gets there.
Wow. I mean, that doesn't make it get there, I don't think, but we would at least know earlier.
Matt from Claremont says, so would they be driving a rental? So if the ID shows up after they leave, they could return the car and fly back. You'd probably have to cancel.
We are not planning on driving a rental. We're just going to drive one of our own cars. Shelly was going to drive in her car.
Oh,
that's why I got
Lord.
It serviced earlier this week to make sure it was in good shape if
right.
you had to drive it
if you,
up to Seattle.
If you missed it, Ben jumped the line on like a 5-hour waiting list to get the car serviced so that it could make the drive.
Exactly.
All right. Well, if you need anything from us, let us know.
An ID for my son. I just told you
can
what
use
I need.
Mine.
Yeah, I got
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I mean.
Might be able to pass. You're like, you're 46? You look good for 46. My ID also, I look like a serial killer of mine. It's the worst picture ever taken, but whatever. Well, I hope it all works out. Please keep us updated. How's everybody else doing? That game last night was a little bit screwy. It doesn't matter though, because at the end of the day, Ben, there is a W in the win column. I give them a little bit of a pass because of the gnarly stuff that they've been through the last week or so with the rain delays, the starting, the stopping, the travel, all of that. They still got the win. I'm not too mad at it at all.
They left 14 runners on base.
That's a lot.
I think for the viewer out there, it was just a bit of a grindy game. 4 hours long for just 5 total runs.
It seems like.
What made that game take so very long? And there was a lot of pitching changes, obviously. The Marlins with the bullpen day used 8 different pitchers, and that slowed things down a little bit. Jace Tingler made some double switches and changes late in the game, slowed things down a little bit. You had the that incident where Austin Adams hit the hit that Marlin in the head that took a few minutes to make sure he was going to not die on the field or anything that slowed the game down a little bit. It just was a very slow-paced Thursday night game that took a long time to play.
I have an observation about I was watching last night the Miami Marlins opener and then the second guy that came in as well. And really, honestly, a lot of the guys that came in to pitch last night for the Marlins, I can't remember how many total pitchers they used. It felt like a lot. All those guys were like 96, 97. Young guys. Like, these aren't guys that are established major leaguers. And then I'm like, how come every guy that we bring up is like 91, 92 max? Like, hey, he's really, if he can locate, he's going to be pretty good. Isn't that wild? Like, there's all these teams with these just massive power arms. I think the last one I can remember, who's the tall redhead kid we brought up? Mason Thompson? Yeah. He was kind of over 95. It seems like everybody else is like 89 to 92. Did
I
you notice
think the,
that?
Miami used eight pitchers.
I do think the Marlins are known for having a lot of young power arms in their organization.
Do we not go after those guys, really? I mean, because even Mackenzie Gore, like on his best day when he was dominating, wasn't he like 92, 93?
I think the Padres want guys who get guys out, and it doesn't matter quite as much. Obviously, you know, a hard thrower, you like that. That's one way to get guys out, but there are other ways to get outs on the mound in Major League Baseball, and the Padres have a diverse group of minor league pitchers.
That opener, Bender, good Lord, he had good stuff. I mean, his two-seam fastball at 97 was making guys look foolish. He yanked one and hit Crow in the back, and that was like, I started peeing blood when I saw him get hit with that pitch, but it was just weird. I'm looking, I'm like, Who are these guys? Everyone's coming in throwing 97, 98 miles an hour. It was crazy. But look, they got the win. We'll break it down and then some today.
Yeah, should be a fun show. It's Friday, which means all of our fun Friday features, including our streaming television recommendations with Craig Elston at 7:35. But it's a Friar Friday, and guess what? Joining us from Miami, Florida, the skipper of the San Diego Padres, Jace Tingler, going to be with us at 8:35 on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. So before this road trip ends, get a chance to talk to Ting this morning.
I don't know.
No, you're definitely going to be on with us this morning.
He's coming on. It's a done deal. It's really happening.
So that's coming up at 8:35. Looking forward to it. We got a Daily Diddy selection coming up next. And we are now 1 week away from the trade deadline.
Oh, God.
As well. Trade season is starting to get into full swing.
Had one yesterday.
All of that coming up. It's Ben and Woods. Let's check traffic right now on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Breakfast Club?
Close. Then you gotta about 30 years forward.
It's John Mayer.
Yeah, he had a brand new album come out in the last week, and it's a Friday. We used to do new releases, so I figured I'd kind of just meld those two together.
We're going to do new releases next Friday when the big guy's out. Okay?
This
we're going to have
called,
some fun in here.
Last Train Home from the album Sob Rock.
Paulie loves him. Some AC, man. He loves him some adult contemporary. If this doesn't work out and you want a job, let me go. Hey, good morning. It's Paul Ryan.
Couple of
Sunny 98.
Couple of studios here.
You're not kidding.
Amazing.
What would you call
it? I can see you guys every day.
Yeah, we see you every day. Hey, Paulie, real quick, can you help me edit this spot? No, you guys are on your own. What would you go by Paul? Like, would you have a DJ name?
Ooh, that's a good question.
What would you do? Because you have a DJ voice. I have the worst DJ voice out of all of us, I think, and I was the only one that was a DJ.
Good morning, it's Ben on the Boombox with you.
It's not a boombox.
It's the boombox.
I like alliteration.
20 years.
It's a radio.
Ben on the Bluetooth.
Ben on your Bluetooth. I like that.
Bluetooth.
Ben on your Bluetooth.
God, that's terrible. What would you do? Paul is a very adult contemporary name. Paul. DJ Paul.
Let's be honest. I like the name Paul.
It's very porno, though.
It doesn't.
And mine, too. Me and Paul have porno names. Steve and Paul. Porn
Steve
brothers.
Woods.
Steve.
It's not melodic. It doesn't have a melodic sound.
Paul. Neither does Ben. Steve.
That's why we add a little flair to it. Ben on the Bluetooth.
Ben.
Paul.
Hey, good morning. It's Paul. The new John Mayer.
Banjo Ben doing country
Banjo
music.
Banjo Ben. Here's the new John Mayer. Tickling you just where you need it.
It's Tall Paul. Tall Paul in the afternoons.
Paul. You need to think of a good DJ.
You are fairly tall. I mean,
very
tall, Paul.
6'4 is pretty tall.
That's
right?
Pretty tall. All right. He does love him some AC, though.
Yes, he does.
He does love him some AC music.
There's not a lot of music that I don't love, really.
That's fair enough.
I mean, really, never know what you're going to get with my Diddy. Could be
It's absolutely
Tupac,
true.
John Mayer.
It's true. He's all over the place.
Yeah, you're the most eclectic. I'm the least eclectic.
Yeah, fair
it's
enough.
Probably, outside of a rare foray into something else, it's generally going to be 80s. Maybe a little bit of, first wave British import, but that's about it.
If you go through our Daily Diddy playlist on Spotify, it's extremely easy.
Pretty easy.
It takes about 5 seconds to know what song.
That's a Woods. That's a Paul. Yeah,
mine's usually a hit.
Yeah, Paul's always got the hit.
Ben's is within a 6 to 7 year window in the 80s.
Yep.
And Woods is probably something with a rock sound.
Yeah.
And a lot of your songs I haven't heard of before, or I couldn't recognize.
Yeah, a little
them.
More, less deeper tracks
yeah.
with Woods.
He digs.
Like
he
deep
digs.
Cut.
So yeah. You're only going to get mostly hits with me.
Yeah,
I've already selected my Monday pick. I'm excited about it, but it's right in the wheelhouse again.
May
so.
Have to put the kibosh on a Monday pick if you're taking the next 4 days.
No. Yeah, part of it is because I'm leaving. It's a special selection.
Oh, okay, he's already got it ready
for the last day before I go.
Okay.
So that's you can look forward to that on Monday morning.
Some diss track or something.
Today is Friday on The Fan with Ben and Woods, and 1 week from today is July 30th, officially the Major League Baseball trading deadline. What will AJ Preller do between now and then? Because I'm pretty sure he's going to do something. Yesterday, the first big trade of the trading season went down with the Tampa Bay Rays acquiring Nelson Cruz from the Minnesota Twins for a couple of prospects. Nelson Cruz, while he is 41 years old, is still considered one of the top hitters in all of baseball. And the Rays, really, I think, improved their chances by adding Nelson Cruz to the lineup. They should be formidable in the postseason. What struck me, though, yesterday is I saw a report from Ken Rosenthal that A.J. Preller was in on Nelson Cruz, which I thought was strange considering Nelson Cruz is pretty much exclusively a designated hitter at this point. I mean,
they said that, they said that about Albert Pujols as well, and he's played pretty well since he went to the Dodgers. I mean, he looks like an adult baseball player, but at the end of the day, it's Albert Pujols.
Still, the Dodgers are using him judiciously.
They are.
They're not starting him every day. If you acquire Nelson Cruz, presumably for a pretty penny, an equivalent to the Rays prospects. They sent a couple of good prospects. You're going to want a player that you can actually use every day. And I don't know whether the Padres could simply put Nelson Cruz in the field every day, considering he's 41. Where would you put him?
I mean, okay, and that's the thing. You know, we've talked ad nauseum, actually, about if we did get a bat, where would they play? Nelly Cruz could possibly play some first. Has he played first? I don't know. I know he played the outfield for a long time. Was not the best outfielder, right?
Right, and I can't imagine that at age 41 he's gotten better after not playing the last 3 years in the field.
And so I don't really want to see him in right. He's clearly not going to play center. I don't want to see him in left because that's where Tommy Pham plays. First base, maybe to platoon with Haas?
Sure. Right?
That'd be solid.
I can see that. But again, are you going to give up premier talent for a platoon player rental for the rest of the season? The fact, though, that...
If you're the Rays, absolutely.
Oh, of course.
Total no-brainer.
DH him, you can put him in wherever you want.
And you think about them in the World Series last year, and you think about their... What were they missing? They were missing Nelly Cruz, right? They had the ridiculous postseason run from Randy Arozarena. But after that, man, it was lean. Lean for those guys. You throw him in the three or the four, that is a way different lineup.
The fact, though, that Ken Rosenthal reported that A.J. Preller was, seriously in on Nelson Cruz before that deal tells me that AJ is really working hard here to find something for the Padres.
Storm because is a brewing.
That's not even the best fit for the Padres. There's a lot of good fits out there for the Padres as well. And if he's working on Nelson Cruz, then I can't even tell you how much he must be working on some of these other options. Starting pitching, obviously. Maybe bullpen help. Maybe another lineup piece like a Joey Gallo or someone like that. But if he's in on Nelson Cruz, who wouldn't he be in on? I mean, literally, he's got to be in on almost everybody that's available on the market right now if he's in on Nelson Cruz.
And it could also be misinformation. It could also be, a smoke screen. It's hard to know what to believe at this point. We heard it from A.J. Preller himself. He tried to trick me into spreading misinformation. I, though, have the resolve and the iron will.
Ken Rosenthal didn't realize he was being used.
Correct.
When he was told, hey, we're going after Nelson Cruz,
correct,
the designated hitter. No, we've heard they're going to add the DH for the final 2 months of the season in the NL.
I realized it when he told me that they were going to go get Lindor, and I did not do it. I did not go to the air with it, and he confirmed that he was testing me.
Yeah, that was last week on Friar Friday.
Friar Friday.
Who knows what Jay Stengler may be testing you on today.
Jace is a straight shooter. He wouldn't do that to me.
You think so, don't you?
He
really do.
He wouldn't do that to me.
All right, fair enough. So... just 7 days left. I mean, it's getting to the nitty gritty here in trade deadline season.
Ooh, makes me so nervous and excited.
I'm very excited. Something could happen this weekend. We can break it down on Monday.
God.
Have no idea.
We'll get that guy Bender that pitched yesterday for the Marlins. God, he looked good.
I don't know. Are the Marlins selling big time though?
Yeah, they're terrible. They're 41 and 56.
They're not good, but they made the playoffs last year.
They're not making the playoffs
this year. Not this year, but they're trying to build up still. They don't want to, young, controllable players like that.
Yeah.
They don't want to get rid of those type of guys, so don't think that that's probably an option. We will wrap up last night's game. Padres with a 3-2 win over the Miami Marlins. Our Padres wrap-up. Talk about Blake Snell's performance. Not bad, Blake. Not bad at all. I'll get to that coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour, Ben and Woods, brought to you by Cal Hope. Visit calhope.org for free COVID-19 emotional support resources. As life returns to normal, our worries have not disappeared but evolved. Cal Hope offers free COVID-19 emotional support. Call 1-833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org today. Padres now just two games in the win column behind the Dodgers and four games behind the Giants. A little longer in the loss column if you 3-7 in that category. But they did get the win. They did cut a little bit into at least one of those teams' lead over the last few days. That's what we said. You win series, you're going to gain ground on somebody. And the Padres did that. We'll wrap up last night's win in Miami right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Miss any of yesterday's Padres game? What's the matter with you?
Forget it. That one is gonna go.
We've got you covered, though. It's the Padres wrap-up with Ben and Woods.
That is the ball game, and that is a winner.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Runners on first and third, one out, no score. And the 0-2 fastball hits slowly on the ground to Aguilar. Goes down to second. That's one. Rojas' return throw is not in time. It was in time, but they'll say Aguilar was off the base. So the Padres get a run. And 1-0 Sandy in the second. 1-1 to Profar. Jerks and kind of muscles that one out into shallow center. Marte charging. Can't get there. Falls in front of him for a base hit. Pham is on his way home. He will score. Throw came up the line, and Alfaro, the catcher, did a good job kind of diving after it to prevent any further advance. But Jerks and Profar with an RBI single. He has driven in both Padre runs. It's 2-0 here in the fourth. 2-1 to Machado. We'll see if they give him something now. And he reaches for a pitch, hits it in the air to left center. That should get it done. Brinson back to make the catch. Plenty deep for Fernando. He's on his way home. It will be an RBI for Machado. Sacrifice fly to make it 3-0 Padres. And Manny drives in his 66th run of the season. Payoff pitch to Adam Duvall on the way. And it is swung on and missed. Strike three. Snell reached back, found 95 miles an hour, and collects his 8th strikeout of the night. Blake Snell is through 6 innings for just the 3rd time this season. Adams and Nola working together. Did so in Seattle, now as Padres. First pitch, and Panic swings, floats one out towards shallow left center. That drops down for a base hit. Gets to Pham on one hop. Diaz comes in to score. And the Marlins on the board. It's 3-1 here in the 7th. 3-0 to Marte. Here's the pitch. Outside ball 4. Adams walks in a run. And it's 3-2 in the 7th. Melanson has his sign from Austin Nola. Into the delivery. Here's the pitch to the Marlin catcher and a ground ball right to first base. Profar's got it. He brings it himself. And for the 2nd straight day, Mark Melanson works a 1-2-3 inning to pick up a save. This is his 29th of the season. Leads all of baseball. And the Padres take game 1 of the series in Miami by a final of 3-2.
Yeah, I think the start of the 3rd inning really started to click for him. I thought... the way he was able to get ahead, he was on the attack all night. And, you know, from the 3rd inning on, I just thought he was really dialed in. He kept repeating. They had a long run of righties. And I thought, him being able to establish that arm side fastball and getting ahead and then working everything else off of that. But I think just that the amount of strikes he threw, you know, especially in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and was in a really good role. And, I should say groove, and just absolutely great to see. And I think it's one that he's capable of really building on and repeating.
Man, that was a ride, Benny. That was a roller coaster ride when Austin Adams came in. It usually is. It usually is.
But he usually also, I mean, he had only given up two earned runs since, what is it, April 18th or 12th or something? I mean, he usually gets the job done.
Yeah, I mean, I did see a lot of, I saw a lot of consternation about Austin Adams, Jace Tingler going with Austin Adams. And, you know, when you look at what guys are hitting against him, I mean, it's a very low average. He's got to find the slot. And if he doesn't find the slot, it is painful to watch. I mean, painful. And you know,
sometimes he has to hit a guy first before he finds the slot.
Not sometimes. Most times.
Most times.
Most times. And you know, I was going back and forth with one of our tier ones, Chris from Texas. And he goes, man, you know, Jace has just got to know. He's got to know it's not good Adams. And I go, well, pretty much hits a guy every outing and then wiggles his way out of it. Look, I think. I can see why you're a little bit nervous every time he comes in, but when he's on, he is devastating. He's devastating. And hitting a guy in the dome, that'll mess you up. That'll mess you up. And I think it did him, and I'm sure Jace will get him back out on the horse as soon as he can. He's got 43 appearances right now, for the love of God. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Wouldn't mind giving him a couple days off, you know, just to
I mean, that re-sync. Was a 10th, 7th inning. Oh. After Adams came out, Pagan comes in, coming off maybe his worst outing of the season, and the bases are loaded. Oh, he falls behind Aguilar, their most dangerous hitter, 3-1. And you're thinking, ball here, the game is tied. Oh, lay one in, Aguilar's probably going to murder
boot
it.
Boot it, yep.
But he got out of it on a fly ball, and the Marlins unable to score again in a 3-2 Padres win. The numbers on Blake Snell, you heard Jace Tingler talking about the lefty. 6-plus innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 earned run, which came in after he left the game. 3 walks, 8 strikeouts in what was clearly his best road start of the season and one of his best overall performances. Now, first couple of innings, he definitely had to fight through it, and he needed to get out of a jam in the 2nd inning. 2 on, nobody out. got a strikeout of Brinson and then got panicked to roll into that double play. And then after that, he really was pretty much locked in until they took him out of the game after that double to lead off the seventh inning.
Yeah, eight-pitch inning, I think, in the third. I mean, you see that, and you're like, whew, okay, now we're talking. And he just, it does look like he's just, the only thing he's fighting is himself. And it just, I like what he said after the game, talked about how he's like, because his changeup, they showed the graphic last night on what guys are hitting off of his certain pitches. And they're batting like 400 off of his changeup. So he made an adjustment, and this is him talking after the game about where his changeup is right now.
Changeup's in timeout. I'm annoyed with it.
It's on timeout again?
Yeah. I mean, that's how the relationship's been. It needs to get better. So I'm going to keep working with it, but it needs to talk, you know, it needs to have better communication with me. But yeah, I mean, I honestly, I just think all around though, the fastball command was really everything. I mean, I think I walked three guys, which needs to get a lot better. But outside of that, just really looking at it, the fastball command in and out, up and down was really good.
Yeah. Post-game Zooms with Blake are fun because he's candid. You know, he says what's on his mind. He's intelligent. He knows. You know, he's willing to talk a little bit more than some of the other guys. And he's funny. You know, he's funny about it.
Yeah, eight strikeouts last night. I mean, the slider, they were talking about it. Mudd couldn't stop talking about it. You know, he threw an 0-2 slider to the pitcher, and Mudd's like, good. You know, screw it. I know it's the pitcher, but you got to make sure that you remember how that pitch feels. It was great, man. It was a great, great outing from Blake Snell. His last seven starts, Benny, 3-1 with a 4.05. That's encouraging. You know, that's encouraging for Blake Snell. Again, the stuff has never, ever been in question. 96, 97 from the left side, a wipeout slider. Unfortunately, the changeup that's in timeout when it's on is one of the best pitches in baseball. I mean, it's devastating. If he can locate it, he just can't. And they're hitting 400 off it or something.
The crazy thing about Blake Snell has been the difference between pitching at Petco Park and everywhere else. His home ERA, he's 3-0 with a 1.43 ERA in seven starts at Petco Park this season. Opponents are hitting 167 against him at Petco. Just three homers allowed, 55 strikeouts against 16 walks. Now, his road splits, and this includes last night. The ERA was over 10 before last night, I believe. 1-3 now with the win, his first win on the road, 8.02 ERA. He has a 3.02 opponent's batting average against him on the road, and only 49 strikeouts in 11 starts versus 35 walks. He's been a completely different pitcher. I mean, it's, you know, 1 or 2, he's like, okay, well, it's just random.
I had a bad night, right.
It happened here, it happened there, you don't know. At this point now, you know, 18 starts into the season, you wonder, okay, what's the trend going on? He was asked about whether this might be a turnaround for some of those, you know, those bad road starts for him.
I mean, no matter what, y'all going to find something to talk about. So it doesn't bother me. I mean, I've seen the numbers, I've heard the numbers, but I mean, I think it's just all about me showing up and being ready to dominate. And if my mindset's that way and I have an aggression towards the strike zone, I'm going to be in a good position to win a lot of the time. So I don't really look home away. I love pitching, period. So it doesn't really matter where it's at. It's just at home I pitch a lot better, and on the road I pitch a lot worse this year. So I'll clean that up, even the numbers out, and then we don't have to talk about that. That'll be fun.
It's a good attitude.
I get that. The last thing you want to do if you're a pitcher is start to get it in your own mind that I can pitch one place and I can't pitch somewhere else.
No doubt.
So you probably do really want to ignore that if you're Blake Snell. So I think he's got the right attitude, and certainly got it done on the road yesterday. Now, one other clip from last night's Zoom with Blake Snell came near the end. I believe it was Dennis Lynn. Just, you know, being a good reporter from The Athletic, trying to follow up on the illness. Remember, Blake was down on the injured list with what was listed as gastroenteritis. He thought it was food poisoning.
They scratched him.
Yeah.
Then he came back.
Then he went on the IL. It was just kind of weird. So Dennis was trying to get an update on exactly what was wrong with Blake, how he's feeling now, and here's what Blake had to say.
I don't know what, I mean, I thought it was food poisoning, and it wasn't, and then I was sick for too long, so it wasn't that, and then I went on the IL for, I don't know what the word was, but I didn't like that word. made me seem like I was, you know, gassy. That wasn't it. But I don't know what I had. I just know that it sucked, and I'm happy that I hope I can put that on timeout forever because I don't want to get that again. That was terrible. But I don't know what it was, and I don't think anyone else really knows what it was. But
the doctors probably did. They diagnosed you with gastroenteritis.
He doesn't like that, though. It makes him sound, you know,
gassy.
Gassy.
It is true. There are, like, if you're like, hey, Woods is out today because he has a migraine, that's different than Woods is out because he has diarrhea. I'd rather you just say it's a migraine. He's got violent diarrhea. He can't make it in today. I don't want you to say that on the airwaves.
What's the coolest thing to be sick with?
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion.
First, the police school thing.
It keeps you out.
What is the coolest thing?
The coolest thing to be sick with?
Like out of work?
Yeah, like if you had to call in and admit, I'm not feeling well, I have blank. What is sounds kind of cool, like a disease that you could have?
A disease
that you could
get. Sounds cool.
I have dengue fever. I can't make it.
Please don't come in. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that there is one that I can't make it into work because I have
blank. That blank. Sounds cooler than say gastroenteritis. Well,
gastroenteritis. Yeah, it's you got upset stomach. Yeah, exactly. No, and it's not cool.
Gassy.
He's a gem, man. I'm so happy he pitched well. You know, it was obvious. It's obviously going to be a massive key to the second half, how he goes. I texted you guys after the first couple innings. I'm like, oh my God, this is like excruciating. And Paulie's like, dude really loves to work harder than he needs to. And he's still fighting it a little bit, but man, he nutted up last night, got the job done, 6 innings, 8 Ks. You'd love to see no walks, but it happens, man. It happens, and got the win, which was huge.
And the Padres, again, take the first game of the series. They've got three more today.
Scurvy.
That's there's a good answer. One. Why haven't you been eating vitamin
scurvy.
C, Woods?
I can't make it in. I've got scurvy. That sounds cool.
I haven't had an orange in 7 years.
No California cuties for me. Scurvy is the only gout.
Gout's something I would get because I eat too many rich foods. That's like the disease for the hoity-toity because they had too much foie gras.
I used to work with a guy named Rochelle, and he was maybe my favorite human ever. And he didn't know what gout was. When he got a cough, he go, man, I got that gout. And I'm like, that's not gout. Gout is just swollen feet and stuff. He's like, I can't come in. I got the gout. Like, no, so I don't think gout's very cool either. Ooh, mono. Mono was a good
mono,
one.
Mono. Yeah. Hey,
sorry, it was French kissing a bunch of girls this weekend. Can't make it to school. It's a really good one. SD Keeper Cat.
Not bad.
The Benz. Isn't the Benz scurvy?
I thought that's when you, like, dive down to, like, in, like,
ooh,
scuba tank diving.
Vertigo. I can't come in. I've got vertigo.
Vertigo.
That sounds pretty cool. But it's not cool.
No,
at all.
We're not
terrible.
We're not making
I'm not
fun of anyone with any of these
or
conditions
gout or scurvy or anything of the like. You asked me a question, I answered it.
So Fernando Tatis Jr. Had a stolen base yesterday, gave another milestone in his career. He's now the fastest player in baseball history to record both 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases in a career. Other than that, kind of had a quiet game. Got caught on a couple of check swings. The second one he was really unhappy about that he got rung up on. He had a case. It wasn't a particularly long check swing that got him thrown out, you know, called out on that one. But I don't know that I've seen him as
he was
visibly agitated as he was after that at bat, really.
You know, he was a bit down in the mouth, I think, last night. And you know, the I'm no psychiatrist or psychologist, Benny. You watch body language a lot, you know. Watch when Manny K's, right, and he kind of walks back to the dugout with his head held high, like, that's, you know, I mean, you got me now, but you're not going to get me.
He goes down looking. He might look over his shoulder a little bit.
Yeah, he looks over. Yeah, and it's almost like a smile. And
that's what Fernando does, too. It's like kind of the smile.
Sometimes. And then, but when Fernando, like, when he's having a bad game, like, you kind of know it. The head goes down. We're so used to seeing him smiling and happy. Look, the best players in the world of all time, they all have crap games. And even in maybe one of his worst games of the year, Ben, still helped us get that win last night. You know what I mean? Like, still helped, you know, still contributed to the team. He never, it's rare when he doesn't contribute at all.
No, he scored a run like he does almost every game, it seems like. And, you know, the Padres scored their three runs. If you appreciate, you know, the kind of baseball that the Padres needed to win yesterday, moving runners over with ground balls, sacrifice flies, you know, scoring runs with outs. They did it yesterday. Now
They did.
They stranded 14 runners on base, and that is very frustrating as a fan, as a player, when you're out there to see so many opportunities going, we should have 8 or 9 runs in this game.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a game that was a lot closer than it needed to be. But again, it doesn't matter. It's not Alabama Vanderbilt. You got to win by 60 to advance. It's not. And as frustrating as it was, you got to take into account everything that's gone on. You know, the stupid travel, the rainouts. They're just trying to get in their groove. You know, I'm not worried about it at all. I'm really not. I mean, it sucks to leave 14 guys on base. It happens to the best of them.
You talked about some of the Marlins' big arms, like the guy that started yesterday. Getting another one today, a kid named Zach Thompson, 6'7" righty with a 1.93 ERA. Don't know a lot about him, but he'll be facing Joe Musgrove at 4:10, 3:10 pregame show here on The Fan as the series continues at Lone Depot Park.
Terrible name for a park.
It is terrible. It's a terrible name.
Park. Terrible uniform.
Speaking of Czech swings, Czech swing played a huge role last night in the Dodgers-Giants game in the ninth inning. Get to that and a little take on Woods coming up next.
We got breaking news in the game of baseball, too. The Indians have a new name.
On The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.